Well, this is Sandy Rio. So Sandy Rio's 24/7, and it's so nice to have you listen today. We have a special show. It's an important show, and I think I would just say the question we're going to try to answer is the question, why should America support Israel? And why should we get involved in this war that they're in with Iran? Why did we bomb Iran? What? It's not our problem, is it? And then also, why have Americans through the ages, since our founding, supported Israel? And now not so much, whether it's our political leaders, our public figures, even Christians. Why is there like a withdrawal of enthusiastic and just heartfelt dedication to supporting Israel? What's happened? What's changed? And so we're going to talk about just the connection with Israel in the Bible, the connection with the world, and the connection with believing Christians today, evangelicals. What is that connection, and why is it that we should be helping Israel? And should we? And so that is the issue. Today, I'm doing something unusual. I'm inviting a very dear friend of mine, who is also my Sunday school teacher. She and her husband, you've heard me mention them at this mic before, Al and Bobby Brecker, are both Jewish believers in Christ. It wasn't always so. They're New Yorkers. They didn't always believe. It wasn't until after they got married that they were reading Isaiah 53 through the influence of a Christian couple and started asking questions of their rabbi that they really started searching the scriptures, and they did find Jesus. And after that, they started teaching, both of them. They have a fascinating story. I don't know that we can get into that fascinating story so much today, except to say that Al was born in Russia. He was on the run with his mother away from the Bolsheviks first because they hated Jews, and then the Nazis because they hated Jews, and ended up in Paris, France. They ended up in New York City, and he met Bobby. She was the only girl in his advanced math class. So that's kind of the foundation. Bobby became a math teacher. Al became a dentist. And from the time they became Jewish believers in Christ, I believe just about from the beginning, they started searching the scriptures and teaching, because both of them are natural teachers. And Bobby herself was a math teacher for many, many years. She teaches a Bible study of a couple of hundred women each week where I live, and she and Al both teach our Sunday school class. So I'm asking Bobby today to join me, because in our class yesterday, we laid out and reminded through scripture, multiple, many, many scriptures, why we must support the Jews and the state, the nation of Israel. And you're confused about it, because I'm guessing that your pastors don't talk about this much either. Maybe some of you pastors listening don't talk about it. I think you'll benefit from this. We'll talk about that right after this. As long as the abortion pill is legally mailed and taken in all 50 states, no state can be abortion-free. Abortion pills carry distinct risks to mothers and death to babies, and now accounts for over 60% of all abortions. Preborn's network of clinics shine a light into this darkness by offering free services to women considering the future of their baby, including the abortion reversal pill. This powerful remedy can help reverse the curse of this toxic medication. Preborn reaches into the heart of babies and mothers, and with God's love and compassion, and to date, they have rescued over 300,000 babies. Your tax-deductible monthly support of any amount is crucial in the fight for life. All proceeds go toward life, and together, we can reverse this horrible curse. Saving babies isn't just about one life. It's about saving the heartbeat of the entire nation. To donate, please go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, this is Sandy Rios 24/7. You can listen to us on any podcast platform. You can email us. And by the way, we're going to be doing an email show pretty soon here at sandy@afr.net. Love hearing what you have to say, and share as many of your email as I can on the air. You can also call us at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. You can find us on social media platforms, and you can also go to sandyrios.com, listen to the show, and find out more about what we're doing. All right, well, you might want a pencil and paper today. You might actually, those of you that are believers, might want to pull out your Bibles, but not if you're driving. But I think you're going to find this very interesting. And you probably, as I have wondered why the resistance to helping Israel, that little tiny country, why? it's so foreign to my upbringing and my understanding as a Christian. And it's been kind of a shock to me to find that many of my friends that I trust who are leaders in this country are struggling with this issue themselves and sometimes hostile. And I'll give you an example, and I need to tell you this before we take this musical break, and that is that Tucker Carlson is one of the leading voices resisting sort of helping Israel in this conflict. And it's become very controversial for him. He's been accused of being anti-Semite. I'm not going to tackle that issue right now, but I am going to say that he and Ted Cruz had pretty much of a debate. It was like 3 hours long. I listened to the whole thing. But when we, on the other side of this music break, the opening of the show, the official opening, we're going to start with a clip of them discussing this. Now, it's almost 4 minutes long, so just be prepared. I never start the show that way, but I want you to know, I want you to listen to this, because nothing sets up our discussion, I don't think, any better than a real live illustration of the confusion in our country over the issue of Israel. So stay tuned. Here we go on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
You suggested it was a strange thing that I said a minute ago that when I came into the Senate, I resolved that I was going to be the leading defender of Israel. And what you didn't ask is why. So let me tell you why.
No, you said I was obsessed with Israel, and you had just told me that, like, your driving motive to get to the Senate was to defend Israel. I'm I don't think I'm the one who's obsessed with Israel.
Okay. Tucker, words matter. And you know that. I said I resolved to be the leading defender of Israel, and you said your driving motive, the reason you're in the Senate.
You want to be the leading defender of Israel. Well, I would think if I ran for Senate, I'd be like, there are people dying of drug ODs on the street.
My driving motive is to fight for Texas and America and to fight for jobs and to fight for the Constitution. And you played a very, very careful word game of a lie
to you. You're the one who said it, not me.
So you still haven't asked why, but I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
And the reason is twofold. Number one, as a Christian, growing up in Sunday school, I was taught from the Bible, those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel will be cursed. And from my perspective, I want to be on the blessing side of things.
Of the those who bless the government of Israel?
Those who bless Israel is what it says. It doesn't say the government of, it says the nation of Israel. So that's in the Bible. As a Christian, I believe that.
Where is that?
I can find it to you. I don't have the scripture off the tip of my... You pull out the phone and use the Google.
It's in Genesis. But so you're quoting a Bible phrase, you don't have context for it, and you don't know where in the Bible it is, but that's like your theology? I'm confused. What does that even mean?
Tucker.
I'm a Christian. I want to know what you're talking about.
Okay. Where does my support for Israel come from? Number one, because biblically we're commanded to support Israel. But number two.
Hold on. You're a senator, and now you're throwing out theology, and I am a Christian, and I am allowed to weigh in on this. We are commanded as Christians to support the government of Israel?
We are commanded to support Israel. And
what does that mean, Israel?
We're told those who bless Israel will be blessed.
Hold on. Define Israel. This is important. Are you kidding? This is a majority Christian country.
Define Israel? Do you not know what Israel is? That would be the country you've asked like 49 questions about.
So that's what Genesis, that's what God is talking about.
The nation of Israel, yes.
So is that the current borders, the current leadership? He's talking about the political entity called Israel?
He's talking about the nation of Israel. Yeah, nations exist, and he's discussing a nation. A nation was the people of Israel.
Is the nation the descendants God's referring of Abraham. To in Genesis, is that the same as the country run by Benjamin Netanyahu right
yes.
now?
Yes, yes.
It is. Okay.
And by the way, it's not run by Benjamin Netanyahu as a dictator. It's a
I'm
democratic
not saying
country
he's a dictator.
That elected...
He's the prime minister,
right?
What?
But just like... You know, America is the country run by Donald Trump. No, actually, the American people elected Donald Trump. The same principle
is there. This is silly. I'm talking about the political entity of modern Israel.
Yes, and that is
Israel. You believe that's what God was talking about in Genesis.
I do, but
that country's existed since when?
For thousands of years. Now, there was a time when it didn't exist, and then it was recreated just over 70 years ago.
But I'm saying I think most people understand that line in Genesis to refer to the Jewish people, God's chosen people.
That's not what it says.
Okay, Israel, but you don't even know where in the Bible it is. So I don't know.
I don't remember the scriptural citation. But, okay, I keep...
It's like Genesis 16 or something like that. But yes, it's in the earlier part of the book. But the point is...
All right, Tucker, you keep interrupting me before I finish my sentence.
No, it's just important to know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're... So you're saying as a Christian, if I believe in Jesus, I have to support the modern state of Israel?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm explaining for me what my vote motivation is.
God tells you to support the modern state of Israel in the Bible, in some place in the Bible that you heard about, but you don't know where it is. That's your theology?
All right. Well, all right. That was just a taste of that three-hour conflict. And I wanted you to hear that because I think it really does illustrate very clearly the confusion right now. And it's causing tempers to flare in this country. And I think we need to understand. I've been concerned for a long time that the church has drifted on this issue. So with all of that said, a patient, Bobby Brecker, has been listening to all of this. She and her husband, Al, are my Sunday school teachers, and they are Messianic Jews, and they are really Bible scholars. I know they would not like me to say that about them, but they've been studying for all the years they've been, they discovered the Messiah. So, Bobby, thank you for listening, and thanks for joining me this morning.
Glad to be here, Sandy.
So you want to just give a brief comment on what you just heard?
Oh, it was just unbelievable to hear that. Just so sad, also, because they don't have, Tucker doesn't have an understanding of the nation of Israel, how it was formed, why it was formed, and who are the nation of Israel, and what is the nation of Israel today. Yes, they were searching for the reference to that verse, and it's Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Shall I tell what it is?
Yeah, absolutely. Please do.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so this goes back. So this is a divine drama. What we're looking at now is not just something isolated in time. It's a divine drama. And this drama started on this earth about 4,000 years ago when God sovereignly chose the Jewish people. Now, how did he do that? He chose a man. He chose a man named Abram, later to be called Abraham. And in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, that's the verse, Tucker, that the Lord told Abraham to get out of his country and to his father's house to a land that I will show you. And he said, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you, make your name great, so that you'll be a blessing. Here it is. I will bless those who bless you, and him who curses you will be cursed. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. God gave this and made this covenant with Abraham, but he also made it with Abraham's progeny, which is Abraham, and then it went to Isaac, and then it went to Jacob, who is later called Israel, and then the 12 tribes of Israel. So this covenant, which is a very strong contract that cannot be broken, and what did he choose Israel to do? Number one, Israel was to be a light to the nations, to show forth the glory of God. Israel, the people of Israel, was given a land with definite boundaries. They were promised descendants, and then the most important thing of all, Sandy, was they were to bring forth the Messiah through the Jewish line. And we know Jesus was a Jew. That was news to me when I was searching. I always thought he was not a Jew, and he hated a Jew. He was a Jew. His mother was a Jew. All the first writers of the Bible are Jewish. And God promised to bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel. And you know, you can probably go through history and find many, many cases where this has worked out in real time. Like, for instance, Egypt oppressed the Jews, but the Egyptian army was drowned in the sea. Babylon addressed the Jews, and they are no more. Rome, Spain, and Germany, plus others, and now radical Islam and Iran.
Yeah, and we've just seen Iran reach at least some measure of their judgment. Cursing, I guess
absolutely.
We could call it. I want to just emphasize, Bobby, what you're illustrating, and that is that for those of us that are believers, I'm talking to that subsection of you out there who really know your Bible. This is familiar stuff, but I think it's a rediscovery to read it now and understand. I'm doing that at this point in my life. I am really rediscovering so many things in Scripture that I've known for years, but now they take on new meaning because God's Word is eternal, and it tells us the roadmap. It's really fascinating. So, and one thing, Bobby, to just what you just said, the last phrase of that Genesis 12, 1 through 3, that Ted could not remember the reference, and Tucker got it wrong. It's Genesis 12, 1 through 3. And so it's, and in you all the families, all the families, all tribes, nations will be blessed. Yes. And that is through the birth of Jesus who came from the lineage traced back to Abraham.
Yes.
Okay, so would you talk... No, go ahead.
So Israel had a purpose in this world, you know, and that purpose, here's the thing, it didn't end with the birth of Jesus. It's still going on. God is not done with the nation of Israel. Because let me just say something, too, about Israel. Much of the time, the nation of Israel has been disobedient to this call and has rebelled against God. But the Abrahamic covenant, the one we just read, is unconditional and still in effect today. And God's love for them is unconditional. In Jeremiah 31:3, he says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. This is to the nation of Israel. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. And so despite Israel's failings and unfaithfulness, God definitely affirms his enduring love and covenantal faithfulness. You One know, more verse that is
yeah,
really
yeah, please.
Amazing. Can I read that, Sandy?
Yes, please. Yep. Yep.
Okay. Jeremiah 31:35. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for day and fixed order of the moon and stars for light by night. If this fixed order departs from before me, declares the Lord, then shall the offspring of Israel cease from being a nation. See, he uses the word nation. It's not just people individually dispersed all over. It's a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth below can be explored, then I will cast off the offspring of Israel for what they've done, declares the Lord. And this is saying, and there's many other scriptures like that, that's just two, Israel will always be a nation before God.
All right, but of course somebody's going to say to us, somebody's going to say, but they haven't been. What are you talking about? Because they haven't been. They weren't always there. That's why many what so-called Palestinians and all the other Arab Muslim tribes have moved into that area. So that's not true then, right, Bobby? They weren't always there. What happened?
It's not true. There were several times in the history of the nation Israel that they became exiled. So God promised a blessing to the nation of Israel when they were obedient. But they were going to be, he promised and said, if you don't follow me, if you don't believe in my way, if you don't make me the prime importance of your life, I'm going to scatter you over the earth. I'm going to put you in exile. And this happened two times. First was about 600 BC was the Babylonian captivity. Because Israel was disobedient, they were brought as exiles to Babylon. But in God's eyes, they were still a nation. In fact, he brought them back to Israel after the 70 years of exile that he had given them. In Deuteronomy 28, it talks about that. After being dispersed by Rome, that's the second captivity, was in 70 A.D. 70 A.D., ancient Rome destroyed Jerusalem and Israel and dispersed the Jews for 2,000 years. You can go to Rome now and see that in the Arch of Titus in Rome. It's just breathtaking to see that. So, but God gathered the Jews back to their land after 2,000 years. They were always a nation in God's eyes as a whole. He always viewed them not only individually, but as a nation. And he brought them back to the land in 1948 in a miraculous, miraculous way. Isaiah 66:8 is like so fascinating. It's, and this is written 700 years before Jesus. Who has heard of such a thing? Who has seen such things? Can a nation be born in a day? So that's what happened on May 14th, 1948. Israel was born in a day when the United Nations actually saw that Israel was coming back to the land, and they said they verified this and said they said Israel is a nation. Okay, and
well, Bobby,
yes.
I'm going to interrupt you just for a second, because on that day, people don't know this. I don't think they do.
Yeah.
America was the first country to recognize Israel as a nation. Harry S.
Absolutely.
Truman, I think, made a phone call. He was, and by the way, Harry Truman was a Christian. He was a Christian, and he recognized Israel, and that was probably the anchor upon which they were to flourish. But of course, they were attacked from all sides soon after they became a nation. But we're not going to get on that track. But let me just put this in real time, and I want to make the point. That's when America really jumped in to politically support Israel.
Yes, yes. And then there's another wonderful verse in Amos 9:15, and God says, I will plant them, and they shall never again be uprooted out of the land I have given them. See, that Abrahamic covenant is still in effect. He gave them a land. He gave them a people. And he is still watching over Israel. And people say, well, didn't he reject Israel? He never rejected Israel. He always loved his people. Now, he loves all people. I'm not saying he doesn't love all people, but he has a special role for the nation of Israel and has had that role from day one, and he will have that role for Israel until the very end.
Bobby, let me interject something else. I just want to illustrate what you're saying. One of the illustrations that God gives in Jeremiah, I think it's Jeremiah, Hosea, is that the prophet Hosea was, and this sounds so weird, but it's true, it was a kind of a metaphor of God's love for Israel.
Yes,
and it was a prophet whose wife was a prostitute and slept with all kinds of men. And he was commanded to keep loving her, keep forgiving her. And in fact, in Jeremiah, God talks about the unfaithfulness, the adultery of Israel. He's mad at them. He says, he really, really is very hard with them. And he says, I'm going to divorce you. But he didn't, because he had unfailing love. And that's that unconditional covenant. But it also is born out of his great love. It's not just a rule. It's coming from his deep love. Yeah, so
from his heart. It's coming from his heart. Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sandy, there were several times in the Bible that God prophesied a restoration after the exile. And as I said, the first time was after the Babylonian exile, where he says he's going to bring them back. He who scattered them will gather them. I will gather them from all the countries that they're in. But he says in Isaiah 11:11-12, he talks about a second time he is going to gather them back to Israel. And I'll read that. In that day, the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant that remains of the people. From Assyria, Egypt, Pathros, Cush, Elam, from Shinar, from Hama, all the countries of the coastlands and the sea, he will raise a signal for the nations. He will assemble the banished of Israel and gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth.
And Bobby, that's happening in Israel. You know, they're bringing in Jews from all over the world and making room for them on their tiny little plot of land that they have. It's happening now.
Yes. Yes, and then he goes on and says, I'll plant them on their land. They'll never again be uprooted out of the land I have given them. He always refers to the people of Israel as the nation of Israel. Even when they were out of the land, they were a nation. They were considered a nation. So, the thing is that people don't understand. I never understood it. I thought, you know, people say, well, you're the chosen people. You know so much about God. Well, I'm still a Jew. I consider myself fiercely still a Jew, just one that believes in Messiah. I never knew anything about God. I never understood the covenants. I never understood the purposes of Israel. So, being a Jew does not guarantee that a person has a relationship with God. It just doesn't guarantee it, because faith, what guarantees it is faith alone, not the ethnicity, that defines God's true people. And that's Romans 2:28. Every person must come to Christ as Savior and receive him into their life to receive eternal life. That's John 3:16. God so loved the world. That's the Jew and the Gentile. Not just any type of people, but every person must come to Christ. Okay, so here's something that is going on in the church today. There's something called a spiritual Israel. Okay, there's physical Israel, which are all the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's physical Israel. Those are the people of Israel. That's the nation of Israel. But there is something called a spiritual Israel, that is what is called the church today. The church consists of Jews who believe in Jesus, the Messiah, and Gentiles who believe in Jesus, the Messiah. Those two together form, from Ephesians 2, a new man, a new entity, which is called the church. That is spiritual Israel. Now, a lot of people think, well, okay, now there's spiritual Israel, but there's no such thing as physical Israel anymore. Well, where did it say that? All those scriptures say God will never forsake Israel, never stops loving Israel. So there's the spiritual Israel, which is the church. There is a physical Israel, which exists today. That's the Jewish people of today and the ones that are in the land of Israel now. And there are the Gentiles who are scattered all over the world. So the physical Israel, and we have to remember that, exists alongside of the spiritual Israel. They both exist together.
But, Bobby, let me interrupt you just for a second. One of the big main sources of contention, and you heard a little bit with Tucker and Ted, is that you mean that God is telling us we have to support Bibi Netanyahu, the Likud, the actions of Israel, all of their military? You mean we have to support? Are you talking about that? You want me to support the nation of Israel, mostly atheists, really, except for Bibi Netanyahu and a few others? How do I know you just explained it, but explain it. How is it that we're supposed to support a nation, its leadership, if they happen to be atheists? Bibi is not, but they often are.
Okay. Well, the point is also that God knows they're atheists. God knows that they have strayed from Him. They've done that for thousands of years. This is actually nothing new. But He has not abandoned His people. And of course we don't agree with every single thing that any political leader does. We can disagree with Bibi Netanyahu. We can disagree with whatever else. But it's the idea of supporting the people of Israel and their right to exist and their call upon them from God. I think that's more it, Sandy. It's not totally supporting blindly any, because that is a human government. You know, they believe in God, but they truly, truly do not have that strong. A lot of Israelis are actually don't believe in God right now. So Apostle Paul said something about this in Romans 11. He says, I ask then, has God rejected His people? By no means, he says. Listen to this, Romans 11. Lest you be wise in your own, that's verse 25 through 29. Lest you be wise in your own sight, he's talking to Christians, Gentile Christians. I do not want you to be aware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. In other words, Paul is saying, I know that the Jews don't accept God right now or Jesus for sure. I know that, but has he rejected them? No, he is not done with them. And it goes on to say, and in this way, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He and all Israel will be saved. And this is my covenant with them. I will take away their sins. So God is so, you know, he knows that they're sinning. He knows it. He loves them. He will never forsake them. Now, the nation of Israel still has a place in God's plan. That's a thing. Is God done with Israel? No. Is he happy that they are not true followers of him? No. Does he love them? Absolutely he does. The nation of Israel, and the which is the people, the whole people, which God calls a nation, and they still have a place in God's redemptive plan in the end times.
Can I stop you?
Jesus coming back to?
Bobby, let me interrupt you because I want to interject something, and then we'll because that's a
Go
beautiful
ahead.
Way to end. I just want to mention Because Jesus is God in the flesh. He is our way of understanding God. Just the Gospels and all the things that he did and said. And I've been reading in John the way he confronts the Pharisees. I mean, he gives it to them. He lays it on. He said, you blind guide, you hypocrites, you strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. You have breath like an open sepulcher, which is a grave. I mean, he says very harsh things. But he also stands over Jerusalem and says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you in my arms like a mother chick, a mother chicken, whatever, a hen gathers her chickens in her arms, but you would not, but you would not. And I think that I wanted to mention that, Bobby, because it kind of explains the mystery of God's love for Israel. And I think we can relate. Yes. We feel that way about our children. But I don't want to get off the track.
Absolutely.
So God's not
that,
done
that's
with...
That's his heart. It's exactly like a parent and a child. A lot of us have had children, you know, have just rebelled or gone astray or not followed the right path. We love them. We adore them. And sometimes we let them go. We allow them to go off and take away our protection for them for a while, because we hopefully they will learn and they will come back to us. They will come back to the reality of the truth. And that's exactly what has happened to Israel over the years. God just has kind of removed his hand of protection over them.
The point is, he's not done with them. They're still, through them, all the earth has been blessed through the birth of Jesus, and just the notion of God, the understanding of law and of righteousness, that's all these things. Okay, so, but he's not done with them yet. So tell us the next wonderful thing that's going to happen.
Okay, so where is Jesus coming back to?
Let me look.
He's coming back to
Israel.
He's coming back to Israel. He's coming back to Israel. And where is Jesus going to rule and reign from as King of Kings and Lord of Lords when he sets up his throne in where? Jerusalem. He's setting up. So there has to be an Israel for him to come back, right?
Yes.
I mean, how can he come back to Jerusalem if there's no Jerusalem or no Israel? How can he do that? So there has to be a Jerusalem. So in this first captivity, when they came back from Babylon, he brought them back and regathered them from Babylon, which is 70 years, about 500 BC. They came back and they rebuilt the temple, they rebuilt the walls, but Jesus came back to Jerusalem, to Israel. So he gathered them back in Israel as a distinct nation with borders. Again, he's coming back to Israel. So what did he do in 1948? He gathered them back to Israel, and that's where he is coming back. And the whole thing, Sandy, is that this is more than just a superficial problem. It goes back really behind the scenes to an enemy that hates us, hated Jesus, and hates the Jews, and this is Satan. He hates the Jews because he knows God loves the Jews and has a plan for them. He hates Christians, he hates Jews, and he's going to bring about a tremendous persecution in the end times. Just as he tried to divert Jesus from going to the cross, he'll try to destroy Israel as a nation to thwart God's plan. So this is a spiritual battle. It goes deeper than just the surface. So when we look at Israel as a nation, of course we don't agree with everything that's done. Do you agree with everything that Donald Trump does? I do now a lot, but there's things I don't. But I love the American people, right? God is saying to love, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and to love the Jewish people. He gives us the love for the Jewish people. Now, you know, God knows that sometimes Jewish people, and I'll be the first to say this, are sometimes, in fact, God says it, that they are sometimes stubborn and stiff-necked.
I've never heard that before. I've never heard that before.
You never heard that before?
Not too much. No. Yes, of course I have.
Yes, you're a stubborn and a stiff-necked people, but he loves them. So what are we to do? We are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We to pray for God's glory. We to pray for them. God, Satan wants to destroy them. God does not want them destroyed. He wants them preserved. So that's why we support what's going on in Israel. And we support the Jewish people. And we pray for things that are wrong in that country to be fixed. But that doesn't change our love, and it doesn't change God's love.
Yeah. You know, Bobby, this reminds me just the point that when it comes to politics and world politics, which is what I watch all the time, we have a president now who, you know, came into office under such a cloud in terms of his character, he and his wife both. And God has drawn this man in an amazing way, and we're seeing it right before our eyes. And so that this immoral billionaire has changed so much, and now God is using him. It was not an easy decision for him to strike Iran, because there's a lot of opposition in the country, even among Republicans, MAGA, conservatives, even Christians. There's this resistance to helping Israel. And he went cross-current, not caring, but leading, caring, but leading. And on his statement that he made after the attack, he thanked God in his own, like, childlike way. Without proper words, he doesn't have all the words of the church, but he recognized that God was a part of it, and he thanked God in that moment. And it's very moving.
I know. Yeah. It was amazing. Yeah. You know, I think the important thing for me is like to remember that we're part of a bigger story. You know, it's like our story is part of God's story, but we're just part of God's story. And what is God's story? God's story is the redemption of mankind through sending the Savior Jesus Christ into the world to forgive us, to cleanse us, to make us his children. That's the bigger story. And sometimes I've heard some people call this whole thing about Israel the divine drama, because it's a divine drama. And Israel has always been at the centerpiece of it. Okay, he doesn't love Israel more than anybody else, but he has a special role for Israel that Israel has played, is playing now, and will continue to play till the end of time. And so that's why, you know, that's why, besides his other reasons why Christians should support Israel, I think for a Christian, that's the main thing. We want to be on God's side. Not only that, we want to be blessed. Don't we want to be blessed?
Well, yes, I do believe we want to be blessed. And I think it's even not just, we are in the, we feel the blessing. We sense it.
We do.
You know, it's not just a matter of checking a box and doing something. It really is a tremendous, I have to say, my Jewish friends through the years, including you, have been such a blessing in my life. Just to watch the Jewish nation, the Israelis, fight this war, the brilliance which they have done all of these attacks, is breathtaking. The advances of that little nation are also breathtaking, and it, to me, reflects the intelligence and love of God, made in his image. All of us are, but his people, I mean, for certain, have been made in his image. So I think the Jews have blessed the world. I know all the negative parts, and people will be saying, yeah, but what about this? But
right.
I could just say there might be some negative parts about Christians, too. So, but God's best in our lives is a beautiful thing. And so, Bobby, I want to thank you for the blessing you've been to my life, and you and Al, both of you, just so much. Thank you. And so thank you for joining me today. I know this is a new step for you, and you did beautifully. So thank you for teaching us this morning, Mrs. Brecker.
Thank you.
Okay,
Sandy, you're the best. I love you so much. It's amazing.
Thank you, Bobby.
You and Bruce.
Same back to you. Okay. All right. We have to take a break. This is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
As abortion continues to rise, Preborn is expanding their life-affirming care in the darkest corners of our nation to help more hurting women and save more babies. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $15,000 will place a machine in a needy women's center, saving countless lives for years to come. To donate, go to preborn.com/Sandy, that's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
You'll never guess what that is. That is Israeli Christians singing in a bombing shelter. They're having a worship service, and it's pretty amazing because there are many, well, no, many. They're a minority, but there are Christian Jews, Messianic Jews in Israel. And they're in the bomb shelters just like everyone else, and I just wanted you to get a little taste of that. Well, there was one woman in the bomb shelter who was just made some comments to sort of give people an idea of what it's like for them right now. Let's listen.
You know, when I was down in the bomb shelter, I just kept on hearing that psalm, "He who watches over Israel will never slumber nor sleep." And that's, you know, I just felt the joy and the peace of the Lord because I know that God protects Israel and that he's with us and he's for us. And actually, yeah, it's just a joy to be able to worship and intercede on behalf of Israel during that time.
Oh, beautiful. And I also would add just one more thing. There is a move of God in Israel. I've been there. I know the atheism. I know the pride that can be there. I know the bad decisions, all of that. They're like a new I'll just make a pejorative, the stereotypical New York Jew who's a hard, fast liberal and embraces all of the things that Christians consider immoral, the Bible considers immoral. There's a lot of that in Israel. I recognize that. But among that, because of these conflicts in the last few years here, Bibi Netanyahu is a believing Jew, not in Jesus yet. He quotes scripture. They named their weapons David's sling. They are rediscovering their scriptural past and their connection to God. And so if I could, I would play the sounds I did earlier, a few podcasts ago, play the sounds of Israelis worshiping in the bomb shelter or singing songs from Scripture, from the Old Testament, who are not Messianic Jews. God is at work. The soldiers are saying psalms and singing songs based on Scripture as they go into battle. So God is at work. It's a process, but I see all of this thing moving forward, and I wanted to make sure that you had a good grasp on things, and I hope this has been helpful to you, and certainly share it with your friends and neighbors, maybe your pastor who doesn't really feel passionate about Israel. Maybe he just needs to hear me reminded. I feel that about Tucker Carlson. I know Tucker, and I just don't think he understands. I think he's a relatively new, this is my assessment opinion. I think he's a relatively new, serious believer. He was raised Episcopalian, and I don't think he's ever heard these things about Israel. And I just think we need to bring him along and others like him who have been in churches that have not taught what the relationship with Israel is and should be for us as Christians and for the world. Well, I want to thank you for listening, and I want to thank Timothy Plan because they sponsor the show and they help you too to put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy, or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-10-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.